Just do as the Lord leads.
Trust me that good.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all heard him.
Right. Well, I mean, hey, you told me you're saved, so I ain't got
worried. That's all that matters.
I ain't got worried about him.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. Bless him. Try to. Well. Well, amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Now y'all say amen now. If you don't say amen, it hurts my feelings. I'm tender. I just break down on you. Try if you don't say amen. Amen. Somebody. Now listen, let's don't quench the spirit this morning. Let God have his way. Amen. What'd y'all come do this morning? Look around? Come to worship, didn't we? Amen. Now we are old fashioned, fundamental, independent, dependent, temperamental Baptist, right? Huh? Right? Amen. So we just need to go to meeting. And it won't scare me too bad if you say amen. And if you get up and shout and run the aisles, that might worry me a little bit because that's about outdated. You know, that's about a thing in the past. They used to shout and run this thing right here, didn't they? Y'all remember they used to shout and run here, didn't they? Amen. So, amen. My name is Brother Van White, and I'm from White Oak Springs Baptist Church in Dallas, Georgia. I live about 10 miles through the woods to the church in Villarica, Georgia. And we're missionaries this morning to probably the most needed and probably the most neglected mission field in all the world. We're Baptist Missions to America. And we call ourselves Mission America because America is our mission. Did you know that 47 Baptist churches close their doors every month in America? And that's probably a low figure. Now, they're planting churches. Now, I'm for that. I'm a church planting missionary. We church planting and restoration type ministry. And they're planting a lot of churches, but they're not planting enough. They're not planting 47 a month. See, we're losing more than we're planting. And you know what happens if you continue to lose? I believe it's Psalms 11:3, preacher. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, if the foundation of this church starts crumbling, what's going to happen to this building? It's going to be big cracks in the walls, the windows will pop out. Before long, it'll collapse. And that's what's happening in America. The foundation is crumbling. And the foundation of America is Bible-believing Baptist churches. This is a Baptist nation, and it started out that way anyhow. Amen. So we need to get back to the basics, plant churches, and we need to preserve churches. I told a fellow the other day, he said, I'm all for this church planting. I said, I am too, but I'm for preserving churches too. I don't want to see one of them close. Right. Amen. See, God put it on Brother Poovy's heart to start this church years ago. Amen. Got a little crowd of people. Amen. Start this church. Amen. See, God, turn that light on right here. Turn the light on this community. Right? And God don't just light go out. He don't even want to flicker. He wants to shine bright right here on the side of the road. Amen. And all across America. He starts these little churches. Amen. He puts lights out there. And he wants those lights to keep burning. Shining bright in this dark world. Amen. Some old sinner might come by here and see this light shining. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're preserving churches, but we also planting churches, preserving churches, but we're for populating churches. Amen. I'd like to see this church full.
Yep.
Full of people. Full of people. Amen.
Right.
So I challenge you. Won't you just make a vow to the Lord this morning? Now, Brother Van, you going to challenge us? I said, yes, sir, I'm going to challenge you to do something this morning. Now, I'm not going to challenge you to pack a pew. That might be more than you think you can do. And I'm not going to challenge you to bring a carload next Sunday. You might not be able to do that. But I tell you what I believe you can do. I believe you can do this. I believe you can bring one. Surely there's somebody out here we get to come to church with, Brother Mahan. Is it Mahan or Mahan? Mahan, isn't it? I believe we can get one. Just one. Amen. Just think if everybody brought one lost person to church next Sunday. Preacher, you're going to have the message, right? You'll have the message. I thought you would. Y'all believe he'll have the message, won't he? I believe he will. I believe he'll have the message next Sunday. If you feel it, hey, if you have lost people with you, I believe he'll preach to them. I know the Holy Ghost will convict them. He'll do his part, amen. So I challenge you. I want you to try to make that a challenge. Now, as I was saying that right there, you thought of somebody, didn't you? You thought of somebody, didn't you? No doubt they're probably lost. You don't know for sure they're saved, but you're pretty sure they're lost. That might be the person that God wants you to talk to this week. That person that you thought of when I said bring one next week, that's probably who God wants you to talk to. And so you need to start praying today that God open up a door, amen, to talk to them. Say, Brother Van, I didn't think of nobody. Well, what's probably going to happen with you is you're going to go to Walmart or somewhere and God's going to let you cross paths with somebody. So be real sensitive when you cross paths with them. Speak to them. Say, oh, Brother Van, I'm nervous about that. I'm a little scared that might run them off. Where are you going to run them to? Hell number one or hell number two? They as far off as they can get now. Huh? Somebody, hey, aren't you glad somebody spoke to you? Huh? You think about that. What if they just let you go on by? You wouldn't be here this morning. Think about it. Just be sensitive. I believe God give us one preacher if we really want one. You said, now, they're not going to put you in the sword of the Lord, you know, if y'all get one. They're not going to do that. They probably won't do that. You know what I'm saying? And the mayor's not going to come out here. You know, y'all know what I'm saying? Y'all probably won't get a whole lot of recognition. But if you keep on doing that, Sunday after Sunday, you'll be going up to the county getting building permits. Amen. One at a time. Just one at a time. Right. Just one at a time. One at a time. Before long it'll be full.
Right.
And there will be some people running and jumping. Amen. I want to sing a favorite song. That'd be all right if I sing my favorite song this morning. I like these old songs, preacher, because you know these old songs. So you ain't got to sing them just like they are. You know, you can miss a note every now and then. It'd be all right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? These new songs, you know, you have to say everything just right, you know. But these old songs, you don't have to sing them just right because they got a message in themselves.
Right.
And they'll speak to you, amen. So you pray. I love this old song right here, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you, amen. On a hill called Calvary, Jesus my Lord suffered for me, carried the cross all the way, my sins to atone. Then they nailed him to the cross. Great was the pain and the loss. He suffered it all because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Suffered it all because he loved me. Then they carried him away, placed him in a lowly grave. Surely they thought this would be the end of this man. But on the third and glorious day, God came and rolled the stone away. He rose from the dead. Because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loves me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. Yes, he did it all.
You did it all because you love me, amen.
Amen.
Trust that was
somewhat of a blessing, amen. We appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. Be with y'all in service and worship our Lord. And we are on deputation to try to raise support. We are a little short in our support. We're not out of business short, but we are a little short in what we need to really do what we need to do in this type of ministry. And the reason we're raising support, preacher, is churches we go to, they don't have anything to help us out with. They would give us a good offering if they could, but they just don't have it to give. They don't have it. And they're trying to just keep the lights on. Amen. And we're asking churches to help us that we can go help others. Amen. We're here for three reasons. Deputation, to raise support. Try to raise a little support. Amen. And we're here to enlist volunteers. You might want to go with us sometime, knock some doors for some struggling church down the road. Say amen right there. And a fellow told me one time, he said, well, I'm going to knock doors for my church. And I said, brother, it don't matter where you knock doors at. As long as you knock doors, God will bless your church for it. And I've been told you can't knock doors in our day, but I beg your pardon, we can knock doors too. Amen. We can still get out there and knock doors. Amen. They will receive you. They're not so hostile that they won't have anything to do with you. And Pastor, you may know somebody that needs us. You give them a good word for us, give them our brochure, and tell them about us. We'd be glad to go help them. Say amen right there. And what, you know, you say you can't knock doors. You can knock doors too. We went down to Myrtle Beach here a while back. Pastor never had knocked any doors in his whole Christmas. Been there 13 years. Never had knocked the first door. And he didn't know nothing about it. So I put him with a good door knocker. Amen. And about three or four doors later, he was doing all the talking. Amen. They hadn't had any visitors in so long. He didn't know. He couldn't tell them when they had any visitors. Didn't know when. It had been so long since they had any visitors. We had 11 first-time visitors that Sunday morning, amen, for our efforts knocking doors. We had 6 saved in the service, amen. We went over to Marion, South Carolina, and that's a pretty hard place, amen. They hadn't had any visitors in a long time. The church about to die, and the pastor's really discouraged. So we went down there and started knocking doors, amen. We had 14 first-time visitors, had 7 saved, amen. Went to Trenton, Georgia, went to a pretty good-sized church. I mean, a pretty good-sized church. They run about 250. And they hadn't had anybody saved in a long time. Amen. So, well, they wouldn't, you consider them struggling? Yeah, they're struggling. They had big numbers, but they're struggling. Amen. They wouldn't do it. And we had 16 first-time visitors, had 5 saved in that service. Amen. And went down to Thompson, Georgia, good friend of mine. We knocked doors all day Saturday. And we had 21 first-time visitors that Sunday morning. Amen. His folks is thrilled. They had 4 saved in the service. Amen. Went down to Tifton, Georgia, and went down there knocking doors, had 8 first-time visitors, had 7 saved. Strange thing about that scenario, I preached all week on just bring one, bring one, bring one. Just kept preaching, bring one, bring one, bring one. And we had a pretty light turnout on Saturday, and I thought, well, this may not go so good. But we did have 8 first-time visitors that Sunday morning, and this lady sat on the back row back there. And I know when she come in, I hadn't seen her all week, and I thought, well, she's just a Sunday morning, you know, one of them Sunday morning, you know, morning glories. You know, y'all have them up here, morning glory flowers, y'all have them. You know, we got them in Baptist churches all over America. They bloom in the morning, then they fizzle out. Don't make it back on Sunday night. Anyway, see, I just preached the gospel that morning, and she got up and come down and got gloriously saved. And I didn't think a whole lot about the lady come down there and praying with her. I didn't think much about it. I thought she just is what she did, you know. But she stayed down here after the lady got, you know, told her she got saved and everything. And of course, she joined the church and all that. And the lady that prayed with her stayed back. She was just weeping. And she asked me, could she say something? I said, well, sure, you can say something. She said, Brother Van said, you've been preaching to me all week about bringing one. And she said, this lady moved in next door to me last week. And she said, I wanted to go over that Thursday and talk to her, and I was scared to. Thursday night, you bring one. Try to get one. Bring one. And all day Friday. I thought about it, and I was going to go over there Friday afternoon and invite her to church, and I just scared to go over there. But Friday night, she said, I got under conviction. She said, I got up Saturday morning, we went out visiting, and all I could think about was her. My next door neighbor just moved in. She said, I just took a deep breath. I just went next door, knocked on her door, and I told her who I was, and I said, glad to have you in the neighborhood. We go to this Grace Baptist Church, and we'd love if you'd come to church with us in the morning. And she said, well, I don't have a way to go. I don't have a car or anything. She said, I'll pick you up. She said, I'll go if you'll come by and get me. She got up enough nerve, preacher, to go next door and ask her neighbor to come to church with her, and she come and got gloriously saved.
Amen.
You never know. You never know. She just had to get enough courage to go over there and do that. And what happened? That lady got saved. And I called the pastor back about 6 months later, and I said, how's that lady doing? It come down, oh, she's doing real good. She hadn't missed a service.
Amen.
Amen. So you never know. You never know. Somebody invited you to come. Amen. Aren't you glad they did?
Yeah.
And there's somebody waiting on you to do that this evening, this week. They waiting on you. Amen. So you can't knock doors. That's the way to do it in our day. I've tried everything, preacher. I've tried everything. Tried it all. Door knocking, best way to do it. That's the best way to do it. It'll work. Take it from house to house. It'll work. It'll still work in these days. See, the Bible still works. It still works. Amen. So that's what we do. We help churches, and we try to get them fired back up about winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why churches close? You ever thought about why they close? Well, they had splits. Most of them have split 14 times. Amen. Most churches in America have split 2 or 3 times. That's not a good testimony, by the way. You know, that's not why they close. The reason they close is they cease to reach their community with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's why they close. Does anybody know how many they had in Sunday school in those 7 churches in Revelation? Does anybody know? Anybody know how many they had last Sunday in all 7 churches in Revelation? I thought somebody knows. Of those 7 churches in the book of Revelation, preacher, you know how many they had last Sunday in Sunday school? They didn't have any. They're all closed. All 7 of them's closed. They followed that Ephesian church, left their first love, which I believe is reaching people, soul winning. You preach that any way you want to, but I believe if you really get down to the bare facts, Ephesus left their, they quit reaching people. They had programs, had all kind of things going on. No doubt they had the best preacher in town, had a good choir, had the best musicians, probably had a good youth group, probably had a jolly 60s ministry, say amen right there. They probably had a bus and went to the Cracker Barrel, amen, every first Tuesday of the month. You know what? They quit reaching people. Church closed. It's happening all over America. We need a revival in America. Of old-fashioned, one-on-one, confrontational soul winning. Reaching people with the gospel. And I believe we really want one. God will give us one. I believe he'll give us one. We really want it. I believe he'll give us one. And then what happened? You get that one. It's like catching that big old bass fish. Anybody ever? Y'all don't bass fish up here, do you? You ever catch one, preacher, you'll want another. Now, I know y'all don't deer hunt up here. Huh? That guy, he's smiling back there now.
Well, I do.
That young fella behind you smiling when I said deer hunting. Hey, you ever shoot, you can shoot a spike. You can shoot a doe, amen. And you'll want to shoot something else. You don't have to shoot no trophy deer, amen. But you don't want to get another.
Right.
I tell you what, you may not win the town drunk, but if you win one, You'll get hungry for another one. You'll be wanting another one, amen.
Amen.
That's just how it is, man. It'll get in you. It'll get a hold of you. Just get one. If you ever get one, you'll say, man, I'm going to go get me another. Go get me another. And that new brought, teach him to go get one. Before long, you have a house full. And I have to go down to the county and get them building permits, preacher. Amen. Well, it's good again to be here. I appreciate the opportunity. But I do want to preach a little bit this morning. Hebrews chapter 2. If you want to turn your Bibles there, we'll
we'll read one verse and then we'll try to hurry along. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Our Father, we thank you and praise you for the good day you've given us. We ask you to help us now with the message. Speak to our hearts, I pray. Get glory and honor to your name. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen." Amen. Praise the Lord. I got to thinking about this word, great. Great. You know, it says so great salvation. Now that word great is a good word. You know, you can say he's the greatest singer. If he's the greatest, you can compare that to somebody. You might say he's a greater salesman than he is. Well, you can compare that. You can compare someone that's greatest to somebody else, or you can compare somebody that's greater to somebody else. But when you say he's great, there's nothing to compare that to. Great, he's our great God. There's no comparison to our God to any other gods. He's not the greatest God. Right. If he was, you could compare him to somebody else's God. He's not the greater God. They'd be somewhat of comparison there, preacher. Amen. Y'all see what I'm saying? He's the great God. There's no comparison. There's no comparison to our God. He's the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm talking about great salvation. It's no comparison to what we possess in our hearts this morning by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is simply great. It's not the greatest. It's not the greater. It's the great salvation. Amen. Incomparable salvation cannot be compared to anything. It's the great salvation. Hey, it's great being saved. Amen. Amen. Can you say amen right there? Hey, it's great. See, probably what's happened to a lot of Baptists, amen, they don't think it's so great anymore. Amen. A lot of times folks get used to it, I guess, or they forget where they come from. But I hope I never forget where God brought me from. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't want to ever forget where I was. In the miry clay of sin, on my way to hell, amen, God reached down and saved my soul and gave me this great salvation that I possess in my heart this morning. Amen. I'll be honest with you, there's just nothing to compare to it. Amen. And I'm going to try to hurry. I can't see that clock, so that's too little. Y'all need to get a bigger clock now if y'all expect the preacher to see that now. Hey, how in the world can you expect the preacher to see that little old clock up there? Amen. I was in a church up the other day, preacher, and they had a clock here. I guarantee you, it's big as a wagon wheel. Amen. And I said, I ain't got no problem seeing that clock. I said, I guess one of the deacons bought that, amen. I can't even see that clock, amen. I don't have a clue what time it is, amen. So you just pray, amen, God will help us. I want to preach this morning on so great salvation. And I want to start off by saying, first and foremost, that salvation is great this morning. It's great because of its great source. Amen. Psalms 3:18, salvation belongeth unto the Lord, amen. Jonah 2:9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay that I have vowed. He said, salvation is of the Lord. Amen. Exodus 14:13, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. Amen. Y'all know the story. They left Egypt's land. They traveled out there, and there they was in front of the Red Sea. Amen. Mountains on both sides. And their enemy closing in on the backside, amen. Looked like they was doomed. But you know what Moses did? He said, behold, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Hey, you might be standing in front of a Red Sea with the mountains on each side and your enemy closing in this morning. But I'm telling you, salvation of the Lord, amen. He'll open up that Red Sea for you, amen. And you'll come out on the other side, amen, with dusty shoes. Say amen right there. Amen. Salvation of the Lord is great because of its source. See, salvation is not in Reformation.
Amen. A lot of folks turned over a new leaf over at New Year's. Amen right there. Amen. A lot of them made these New Year's resolutions. Amen. You make one, preacher. I did. I made a New Year's resolution. How many of y'all made a New Year's resolution? Amen. I made one. I made one. I said, I'm going to try my best. By the help and grace of God, preacher, I'm going to do my best to gain 20 pounds. I think I can do it. What do y'all think? I know, preacher, I'm going to have to eat a lot more ice cream sitting in my, and I'm going to have to spend a lot more time in my reclining chair. And I'm going to have to eat a lot more popcorn about 10 o'clock at night, amen? But I think if I work at it real hard, I think I can do it. I think I can gain 20 pounds. What do y'all think, amen? Thank you, ma'am. A lot of folks make them New Year's resolutions, amen? But you know, a lot of folks, they say, well, brother Van, I'm not saved, and but I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to do better. I tried to do better. 3 weeks I tried to do better. Seemed like the more I tried to do better, the worse I got. I couldn't, kept trying to do better. Kept trying to do better. I said, I'm going to do better. I'm going to straighten up. I tell my wife, I said, honey, I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to do better. Never could do any better. I was lost. I tried this thing in Reformation. I've had sinners tell me a lot of times, well, brother, then I'm going to straighten up and I'm going to do better. I don't know why. I said I didn't need this water. Now here I am drinking it. I said, I'm going to do better. You know, it's kind of like, you know, straightening up and doing better. Sinners think they straighten up and do better. You know, I had to borrow the money. Y'all forgive me. And if y'all, you know, give me the money to pay the note off, I'll take it this morning. Amen. But I wanted that Martin guitar, preacher. I wanted one all my life. Amen. And I never had the money to buy one. So what I did, I went down to the bank and I borrowed the money. And I know y'all probably against that. And I'm not really for it myself, amen. But I wanted that guitar. And they said, why can't you trust the Lord for it? I am trusting the Lord for it. Every month I'm trusting the Lord for it. I didn't have enough faith to trust Him one time for it all. But I can trust Him once a month. Say amen right there. Don't look at me funny. You do the same thing. But I went in debt for this guitar, and I owned that guitar, and I owe payments on that guitar. Amen. I had to pay payments on the bank for that guitar. Amen. And what if I told the bank? I went down there and said, now, Mr. Banker, I appreciate you loaning me that money. But I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't never borrowing any more money. Never again am I borrowing any more money. I'm going to quit that borrowing money. I'm straightening up. I'm not borrowing any more money. But you owe that money on that guitar. Just because I said I'm not going to borrow any more money, it don't mean I don't owe that anymore. I still owe that, amen? And them old sinners say, I'm going to straighten up and do better, brother man. I'm not going to sin no more. I'm not going to do that no more. Well, how about that you've already done? Somebody's got to pay for that, preacher. We owe a sin debt. And somebody's got to pay that sin debt, amen? Just because if a sinner could quit sinning, he's still got sin on his record, amen, because he's already committed sin. If I quit borrowing money, that don't erase this debt. I still owe this debt, amen. Right. Y'all see what I'm trying to say? Yep. Thank God Jesus paid the debt, amen. It's not in Reformation straightening up and doing better, amen. It's not in religion. That's man-made worship. And there's a lot of that going on this morning. Say amen right there. Right. It's not in religion. Well, brother man, I'm a member of the church. Amen. I've been baptized. Fellow told me one time, he said, I know I'm going to heaven. I said, how do you know that? He said, because I give a ton of money to the church. That ain't going to get him to heaven. Amen. That's religion. Religion won't get you there. Salvation of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. It's not in Reformation. It's not in religion. It's not in rituals. Amen. There's Baptist churches all over the country this morning going through their little rituals. Amen. I mean, rituals. I've been in churches where you didn't break the pattern. We got a bulletin, preacher. We're going by this bulletin. Amen. Amen. A lot of folks are going through their rituals this morning. They get up, brush their teeth, and comb the hair, and get in the car and go to church. And they go through the little ritual of going to church. Amen. They think that's going to get them to heaven. Amen. That's not going to get them there. Amen. Salvation is of the Lord, and I'm telling you, salvation is great this morning because it's great source, amen. Salvation is of the Lord, hallelujah, and I'm glad it is, amen. Yeah. You see, salvation's great this morning, not just because of the great source, but we're great sinners. There ain't no such thing as a mediocre sinner. Amen? We're great sinners. Great sinners. Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep are going astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. Great sinners. Romans 3:10-12, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. They're all going out of the way. They're all together come unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Amen. I tell you, we're great sinners. Great sinners. Great sinners. Amen. Great sinners. Amen. We're not mediocre in our sin. We do a good job at it. Amen. An exceptional job. And we're great sinners. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. So you can't be saved if you don't know you're a sinner. If you don't know he's a sinner, he can't be saved. You got to realize he's a sinner. That's the hard part, convincing folks they're sinners. Amen. Amen. Great sinners. Hey, you remember, we were hopelessly depraved. Amen. See, I believe in the depravity of man, total depravity of man. And I'm not even a Calvinist, and I believe that. Amen. Total depravity. What does that mean, Brother Van? Well, it don't mean we're as bad as we could be. Because I've got a sister-in-law. If my car broke down up here in Virginia, preacher, she'd drive them down to Georgia to come here and get me. And she wouldn't let me buy the gas. She'd pay for it. And she goes out to the dumpsters and puts out dog food and cat food for stray dogs and cats. Amen. Does it every day. As far as being a good woman, in the eyes of the world, she's a good woman. But she's lost. See, she's not as bad as she could be. She's bad off as she could be. She's totally separated from God by her sin. Totally depraved. Sinful. Total depravity of man. Amen? That makes us great sinners. Great sinners. Then we were hopelessly doomed. Amen? Hopelessly doomed. Amen. Somebody, the mindset of the day is that they'll be condemned one day. One day they'll be, no, they're condemned already according to John 3:18. Right. Condemned already. Condemned already. Amen. Great sinners. We're hopelessly depraved and helplessly doomed. And we were honestly deceived. A lot of folks think they're okay this morning. But they're not. They're great sinners. Great sinners. Amen. That's what makes salvation so great. Because the great source. But we were great sinners, amen? That makes this third point even better. We have a great Savior. Amen. What a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Lord Jesus. Hey, He's our great Savior. Great. See, there's no comparison. He's not the greatest Savior. And He's not a greater Savior. Oh, no, He's the great Savior. Amen. Can't compare Him to anybody else. Amen right there. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, Romans 5:6-7, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarce were a righteous man, one yet, dirty not yet perverse. For a good man, some would even die. Amen. For a righteous man, one would even die. For you know, you've watched these old John Wayne movies and these Audie Murphy movies. Back when you could watch TV without being embarrassed. And the Germans, they chuck that hand grenade in that foxhole. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? And one of those soldiers would dive on that hand grenade and save all the rest of them's life. Amen. That's what that verse is talking about, something like that. That'd be a noble thing. That'd be a great thing. What a hero. He saved all the men by sacrificing his life and saved all the men's life. That's pretty good. See, perfect for one would scarcely die. For a righteous man, one would scarcely die. But let me ask this. Let's say somebody come in your house, raped your wife, slit your kid's throat, burnt your house down. Would you die for them? Would you give your life for them? I don't think so. tell you what you'd do probably if you got there and found him in your house after that happened. You'd probably do something pretty bad to him. That 9mm, you'd probably empty it on him. Come on, be honest now. You know you would. The most dangerous place in America. The most dangerous place in America is my living room at night if you're not supposed to be there. It's really a deadly place to be in my living room if you're not supposed to be there at night. Y'all know what I'm saying? I wouldn't hesitate. I said I wouldn't hesitate. Somebody in my living room at night, not supposed to be there. You can say amen right there. Amen. You know you'd do the same thing. If you had a gun and somebody's in your house and it's going to hurt your family, well, you take care of business. Amen. Ain't doubt my mind. And you know what? I say amen to that. Amen. But you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't say, "Your Honor, he raped my wife and split her throat and killed my kids and burnt my house down. And I just love him so much. Let me go to the lake. Put the needle in my arm for him." No, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't say, "Well, Your Honor, my only boy, he wasn't at home that day, and I'm gonna just give him in exchange and let him go free. Take my son." You wouldn't do that. But that's exactly what Jesus did. God sent his only son for sinners like you and me. What a Savior. What a Savior. Hey, we deserve this morning, as old Brother Ed Blue say, to be put in hell with our back broke. God would be just as justified and still God to put us all in hell and turn the flames up. Because we wicked, ungodly sinners, but you know what? He loved us. He loved us so much. What a Savior. What a Savior, amen. What a Savior. What a Savior. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 2 Corinthians 5:20, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Thank God. What a Savior that he gave his body. He gave his body. They put him on the whipping post and beat him almost to death. Amen. And they took him out and he marched up Golgotha's hill and they nailed him to an old rugged cross and he hung there 6 long hours, amen, and bled and died on the cross of Calvary. He gave his body for our sins on the cross, amen. The sinless, perfect Son of God. Never said a bad word. Never had an evil thought, amen. The perfect, impeccable Son of God gave his body for us. It should have been us hanging on that cross. We should have died on the cross and then went to hell. Amen. But he gave his body and he shed his blood. Shed his blood to wash our sins away. Amen. Thank God for the blood this morning. Great sacrifice. A great sacrifice. Great sacrifice this morning. The Savior. A great Savior and his great sacrifice. Amen. He gave his best. He gave his best. God didn't give some broken-winged angel, amen. Something wasn't worth nothing. A fella gave me a tent one time, preacher. He said, "I got this gospel tent. If you want, you can go get it." And I went up there to get it. You know what? It wasn't fit to make grease rags out of. Couldn't hardly find a piece big enough and didn't have a hole in it to make a grease rag. He didn't give me anything that's worth something. He just needed it moved. So he gave it to me, amen. But Jesus gave his best. God gave his best. He gave his best, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a sacrifice, what a sacrifice, what a sacrifice. You see, salvation is great because it's source. We're great sinners. We have a great Savior. See, our Savior, he's supernatural. That means he can overcome any situation that you face. And again, he's sinless.
can overcome any sin that we have. Don't look at me funny now, but He's sovereign.
Yes, He is.
I believe in the sovereignty of God, and I'm not even nowhere close to a Calvinist. Call me anything but a Calvinist. I'm not a Calvinist. Calvinists believe some are elected to heaven, some are elected to hell. There ain't nothing you can do about it. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. I don't believe that. I believe Jesus died for everybody.
Amen.
He's sovereign. Hey, our country, we're a sovereign nation. That means we make our own laws. God's sovereign. And in other words, He can do what He wants to do. He's sovereign. If He says to do something, He's sovereign. He's got a right to say that. If He wants to put rules and regulations out there, He has a right to do that because He's sovereign. He's self-sufficient and self-ruling. He's Lord.
Amen.
Amen? That means He can save any sinner that'll come to Him. Amen.
Yeah.
Salvation is great this morning because it's a great source. We were great sinners, but we have a great Savior, and He gave a great sacrifice. Salvation is great this morning. It's great being saved. Amen.
Amen.
It's great in its sufficiency. We're saved from the dominion of sin. It's not ruling us anymore. Aren't you glad you don't live in that mess anymore?
Right.
Broke the chains of sin. Hallelujah. We're saved from the domain of sin. We don't have to live in sin anymore. And we're saved from the destruction of sin. Sin's killing us. That's what's killing us. Sin is, it'll destroy you. Amen. It's great in its security. Jesus is stronger than Satan.
Amen.
Fellow kept telling me one time, he kept doubting his salvation, preacher. And man, he'd win somebody to Jesus right here, and in 30 minutes down the road, he'd be lost. You know, crying, "I'm going to hell, Brother Phantom." And I just finally got tired of it. And I said, "I'm sick and tired of you blaspheming." "I didn't blaspheme." You're on the border of blaspheming. "What do you mean, Brother Man?" I said, "You're saying Satan's stronger than Jesus." That's what he's saying. This crowd says you lose your salvation, preacher. They're saying Satan's stronger than Jesus. His influence is stronger than the Holy Ghost. That's pretty close to blaspheming. I'd be afraid to say that. Amen. Jesus is stronger than Satan. And Jesus is stronger than our sin. We're secure because of Him being strong as He is, amen. And Jesus is stronger than ourself. If it was left up to me this morning, I'd lay in the bed. How about you? Don't look at me funny. You can always sleep better on Sunday morning than you can any other day of the week. Say amen right there. Bed feels a lot better on Sunday morning than it does any other time. Come on now. Let's be honest. We Baptists, so let's be honest, amen. But Jesus is stronger now, amen. Hey, I'm glad I'm securing Him this morning, amen. I don't know how you feel about it. I don't know how you feel about it. But I don't believe in doing anything good enough to get it.
Right.
And you sure can't do anything bad enough to lose it.
Right.
Because it's not of us anyway. It's all Him.
Amen.
It's all Him, amen. But it's also great in its simplicity. Somebody said, "Brother Man, that sounds like easy believism." Well, you must believe in hard believism. I hear that term easy believism a lot. But it's not hard to be saved. The easiest thing in the world to do if a person's under conviction. Catch the word conviction. The hard part is getting them under conviction. But once the fellow's under conviction, preacher, he knows it. He's admitted that he's a sinner. He believes the Scripture, and he calls on the Savior. That's how easy it is. It's simple as ABC. Admit you're a sinner. Believe the Scripture. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For all our sin come short of the glory of God. Believe the Scripture. If you call on the Savior, you'll be saved.
That sounds too easy. It is easy. God took care of the complicated part and made it easy for us, or a wayfaring man and a child can understand it. I've had kids to get saved. Little kids. 6-year-olds. My 6-year-old granddaughter got saved and called me and said, "Papa, guess what? Guess what, Papa?" And I said, "What, darling, what? Tell Papa what's going on." She just squashed. She said, "Papa, Papa, guess what?" I said, "Tell her what's..." She said, "I just got saved." My other granddaughter got a hold of time. She got thrown around. "Well, I need to be saved too." So she got, "Papa, Papa, guess what?" I said, "What?" She said, "I did the same thing Chloe did." I said, "What did Chloe do?" She said, "I got saved." 6-year-old. Didn't see one of them about 3 months. Saw her last night. Didn't see her about 3 months. You know what, preacher? 6 years old, I could see a difference in her. Yeah. Any man being Christ, a new creature. These fellas said they've been saved 20 years and ain't no difference in them. Look out now. Right. If I tell the difference in a 6-year-old in 3 months' time after they got saved, I think if an old sinner gets saved at 20 years old, there'd be a difference. Amen. Right. It's a different day, like night with me. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. It's as simple as ABC. Realize you're a sinner, repent of your sins, and receive the Savior. That's pretty simple, ain't it? That sounds like easy believism. Easy believism sounds like Bible believing me. You believe you're a sinner, you're convinced. You're not arguing with God anymore. You're convinced you're a sinner. The night I got saved, didn't nobody have to tell me anything. I knew I was a sinner on my way to hell. I admitted it. I knew it. I knew it. I thought I was going that night. Now, believe it would have if I hadn't got saved. I wasn't arguing with God about it. Hey, I was convicted. In other words, I was guilty. Guilty. And I said, "You're right, I'm guilty. And if I go to hell, it's my own fault. I deserve it." I deserve it. But thank God he didn't leave me there. He said, "If you'll come to Jesus..." All I knew I had to do for you, I knew I was lost, going to hell. And I wasn't arguing about it. If I can just get to Jesus... Just get to Jesus, everything will be all right. See, I didn't have a whole lot of sense. I thought I had to be at church to be saved. That's how much I knew about it. I knew Jesus died for me. And I knew they buried him and he rose again. I knew he was born of a virgin because we celebrated Christmas. Amen? And I knew he rose again because we celebrated Easter. I didn't know all that stuff. I didn't know a whole lot about it, but I knew he was born of a virgin. I didn't really know his God manifested in the flesh until I got saved. If I know that the night I got saved, I'd probably still be running. Amen. But I knew I was a sinner, and I knew if I could just get to Jesus, everything would be all right. So I thought I had to be at church to get to Jesus. You see, if a good soul winner, well, it wouldn't have been a good soul, just a bad soul winner could have come by and got me, preacher. Somebody come by the house, it would been a lot easier on me, by the way. I thought I had to come down here to be saved, in front. I thought I had to walk that aisle. I said, "I got to walk that aisle." Sure did look long. That aisle looked long. How long did that aisle look, Brother Van? It looked like the runway that the space shuttle lands on, if you've ever been down there. Whew, it's a long way down there. But you know what? When I got in the aisle, I was down here before I knew it. I don't know if I run. I don't know what happened. All I know is I got down there and Jesus met me in the altar at the Fullerville Baptist Church, October the 5th, 1975, about 8:30 at night. I got gloriously saved. It's been great ever since. It's been great, buddy. I mean, it's been great. I tell you what, I've never regretted getting saved. You've never seen anybody else regret it either. You ever seen anybody say, have you ever heard anybody say, "Man, I wish I hadn't got saved"? You ain't never heard nobody say that. Preacher, you've heard them say, "Well, I wish I hadn't got drunk last night." I bought a car one time and I told my wife, I said, "Boy, I wish we hadn't bought that car." Fella told me the other day, he said, "Man, I wish I'd never met this woman." And she said, "Me too, amen." Huh? A lot of things we regret doing. Amen. I ain't never seen anybody say they're sorry they got saved, though. They're always tickled to death about it. Just thrilled.
So glad I'm saved. So glad I'm saved. It's great being saved, ain't it?
Amen.
It's just great. Somebody said this is the greatest life. This is a lot greater life. Oh no. You're comparing that to something. You can't compare this life to that whole life. There's no comparison to it. Amen. Ain't nothing to compare. It's just great. What can you say? Salvation's great. It's great being saved. Amen.
Amen.
Saved. If you're saved, you ought to shout about it. Amen. Every now and then. If you ought to be going down the car and down the road every now and then, get happy. If you're a little bashful about it, get off in the woods somewhere and get happy. Amen. And maybe you get happy in church. Amen. It's good being, hey, saved. Great. It's just great being saved. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, it's great serving Him too. It's great serving God. It's just great. He let us have a little part of this, preacher. What about that?
Amen.
He let us in on this. He lets us in on this. What about, he lets us in on it, man. What a, is that not great, just getting in on this? Lets us in on it. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? Can you compare that? Serving God, can you compare that to anything? Ain't no comparison, are there? Serving this wonderful Savior we got. It's just great. It's been great being here this morning. Amen. Amen. It's been great. Been good. Great. Hallelujah. So I'm going to turn it over to the preacher and let him give an invitation because he knows how y'all are. He knows how y'all are. Amen. Y'all know how he is. Amen. But I do appreciate you letting me come this morning. I've enjoyed it. I really have. Amen, preacher. I'm going to sit down right here. And I'm gonna pray right here. And if, you know, it'd be good just, you ain't got nothing else to pray about, just come around the altar and pray for me. Amen. I need your prayers. And I desire your prayers.
Thank you, Lord, for that message, brother. I tell you.